1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. We are continuing our study this morning in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, I began with verse 8, and we'll pick it up there. We had run out of time yesterday's broadcast, and we were in verse 8, so that's a logical place to begin this morning. Let me remind you, the theme of this book is fellowship with God. And specifically, it's not being treated as something that's, well, kind of nebulous and fuzzy, but rather John draws it in very clear and vibrant colors. The edges are sharp, the corners are clear, the lines are drawn where anybody can see them. You found in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, and you're going to see it here in chapter 3, sin is the enemy of fellowship with God. A Christian, to maintain fellowship with God, needs to police his life in the sense of sin, to root it out. Now then, you'll recall in the last couple of broadcasts, I've made mention of the fact that you need to be aware of the tenses that are being used in these Greek verbs. Now, you don't have to be a Greek scholar to take advantage of the knowledge. Anytime you see a word in the King James English that ends with an ETH and it's a verb, whatever it is, it's showing action and it ends in ETH, it is an indication by the translators for your benefit to indicate to you that the action is something that is happening on a continuing basis. The action is habitual. It is continuing. It didn't happen and stop, but rather, once initiated, it continues to take place. Okay? You say, well, you've emphasized that, but what's that got to do with anything? I mean, we speak English. Who cares what the Greek says? Well, you need to care, because if you don't, if you're not aware of the importance of the tenses in the meaning, then as you read, well, let's say, verse 4, verse 6, verse 8, verse 9. If you are unaware of the import and the impact of these tenses, you can get some pretty strange, some non-biblical views about whether or not a person stays saved, can be saved, and sin. If he sins, does he lose his salvation? If he sins, is he on his way to hell? You'll find all sorts of things floating around in churches that are based on, unfortunately, an ignorance of what the Word of God actually has to say. Now, if you go back, you will notice in verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. You see this idea of a continuing action. In verse 6, whosoever abideth in him, that is a continuing action, abiding in Christ. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? How about John chapter 15, the gospel according to John? Chapter 15, the idea of abiding in Christ. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you go on from there. But you'll notice that while John says it needs to be a continuing action, whosoever abides in him does not habitually sin. It doesn't mean you can't get tripped up. It doesn't mean in a moment of weakness. It doesn't mean in the giving in to the impulse to sin that you can't do it. Ah, but here's the thing. As long as a Christian is abiding in Christ, consciously, deliberately staying in the presence of Christ in an attitude of prayer, he cannot commit sin. You say, well, how in the world can you do that? You'll find that there are things in the Scripture that at first glance don't seem to make a lot of sense. For instance, if you go over to the last chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, you'll find several short verses, 2-3 words sometimes, that are very, very blunt, very succinct, and they're commands. Pray without ceasing. Oh, you can't do that. Well, if you couldn't do it, why did he say to do it? If it's an impossibility, why is it given in the imperative voice? Why didn't he say, no, you ought to pray as much as you can? But he didn't. He said, pray without ceasing. You say, how's that possible? Well, what is prayer? Well, that's when we talk to God. That's a child's definition, and it will work, but is that all prayer is? Is prayer simply asking God for something? I think the further you get into it in your study, the more you will find that prayer is communion with God. It's communication with God. It's not merely asking for things or begging for things or interceding. It's communication with God, talking with God, meditating on His Word. Do you really pray, or do you just sit around with a wish list? You sit around with a list of things you want to see happen? Is that what your prayer life consists of? My friend, I don't care whose biography you read. If they have been a giant in faith in church history, you'll find people who spent hours in prayer, and it wasn't, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me, or I want, give me some more. They spent time in communion with God when they spoke to God and He spoke to them. Whosoever abideth in Him, staying in His presence, my friend, that is possible to stay in His presence as you obey the command, pray without ceasing. To stay in a state of continual communion with God is possible. If it were not, the command would never have been given. Now, if you're going to abide in His presence, you will not sin. While you are in His presence, you cannot sin. To commit sin, the Christian has to leave the presence of God. Now, that seems to me to be a foolish thing to do, but people do it. Be honest with you, from my experience in observing Christians over the last 40-odd years, it's been my observation that most Christians do not abide in Christ, and therefore sin is much more likely to be detected in their lives, inconsistencies with between what they say and what they do, a double standard, almost to the point where anybody could call them a hypocrite and pretty well hit the mark every time they pulled the trigger. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Christian, you got a problem with sin in your life? Do you feel like you get whipped every time you're tempted to do something? There's a secret here. Here's the answer. Abide in Him. Abide in His presence. If you as a Christian get sick and tired of having to go back to the Lord over and over and, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I shouldn't have said, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, God, please forgive me. And you go back and you're always apologizing. Do you realize there's a way around that? Abide in His presence and you won't sin. Now remember, to whom much is given, shall much be required. I've told you now what to do to avoid sin. Oh, that's too simplistic. Try it. You think it's simple? Try it. Oh, I could never do that. Yes, you could, and you can, and you ought to, and it's doable through the power of the Holy Spirit. I get kind of weary of hearing people beat the drum about the Holy Ghost and His power in our lives. And yet when you watch these dear saints of God, you find that there's a lot of downtime in their saintliness, and their holiness is a sometime thing. Friend, put up or shut up. You either got the goods or you don't. You've either got the genuine article or you're a fake. Now, which are you? Well, I don't think you listen. You don't have to commit yourself. I don't have to make any judgment calls about you. Your children already have. Your mate already has. People around you already know whether or not you're a blowhard or whether or not you're the real McCoy. They know. They've already come to a conclusion about that. They say, oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. You ought to be concerned about that. And if you don't like the direction this is going, then change it. If I'm just on here saying, well, you blew it, that doesn't do you any good. You may have blown it. You may have hurt your testimony terribly. Your witness may not be worth a plugged nickel, but my friend, it can be salvaged. You can become what the Lord wanted you to become to begin with. Abide in Him. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, not paid any attention to Him, not acquainted with Him, neither known Him. Now, when we get down to verse 8, which is where I was supposed to be starting, he that committeth sin is of the devil, ETH, habitual. He that is habitually committing sin is of the devil. He's connected with, he belongs to the devil. For the devil sinneth. The devil habitually and continually has been sinning from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, wait a minute. That's not what it said back in verse 5. Yeah, it did. You're just a little slow on the uptake. Verse 5 said, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." What did he come for? Verse 5 said, to take away our sin. But in verse 8, it says he was manifested to take away, to destroy the works of the devil. Dear friend, don't you understand that sin is the work of the devil? The transgression of the law, that's his workplace. That's the product. I mean, whether or not you say it like it said in verse 5, or you say it like it is in verse 8, it's the same thing. He was manifested. He was exposed. He came. God brought this whole thing into fruition, brought this whole situation to a head to destroy the works of the devil and to take away our sin. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. If you go back to the Greek, you see the same thing. Person who is born, whosoever, male, female, young person, old, it doesn't have any age, sex, gender, doesn't have anything to do with it. Whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. It is not his standard procedure. It is not his normal practice. It is not a habitual thing. If he's been born of God, why? For his seed remaineth in him. You say, what in the world? Now wait. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, you will find the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. What did he sow? You remember that after he told this parable, his disciples privately asked him, what are you talking about? What was it? What do you mean? And you find that the Lord defined the seed that was sown as the word of God. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin because his seed, because the word remains in him. My friend, the life that is devoid of the Word of God is a life saturated in sin. The professing Christian who is not saturating his life with the Word of God in reading and meditation of the Scripture is going to produce a life that is marked and flawed by sin at every turn. Now, I really wish I didn't have to stop here, but I'm out of time. So we'll come back to this on the next broadcast. Spend some time in the Word of God. Spend some time in prayer. And join me next time for The Bible Says.